Good evening, church.
Good evening.
Here we are once again. You know, I thank the Lord for my salvation. Had it not been for him, I'd be standing somewhere else. I wouldn't be standing behind here. But I thank the Lord for our pastor who trains men in the Word of God to handle the Word of God. And it's just a sobering reminder to me, with the life that I have, that I'm to live it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And every opportunity that I get. I just want to thank my grandson for being here. And we pray for my grandson on a regular basis. He's facing some challenges in life. And who isn't facing challenges? But you know, by the grace of God, wherewithal with the challenges that we face, God can make us whole. And I thank the Lord that one day he chose to make me whole. And I received the word of God with readiness of heart. I'm so grateful, ever grateful for the things the Lord has always done for me. I was just thinking, and I said to myself, and the pastor kept mentioning something. I want to make sure I get it correct. Repetition. Repetition is good for us, because repetition keeps our minds focused on the things of God. And repetition is a big thing for me, because I wrote repetitiveness. When I was in that world, I would do the same thing over and over and over again. But you know what? Thank God I'm not doing it out there no more. I'm doing it in here. So that's the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody but him. You know, I'm not going to be able to see with those. And I said to myself sitting there, I said, Ryan's going to have to preach. But I did bring my glasses. They're here. I got to make sure I get to them. Because I'll be standing up here. Y'all won't know what I'm saying. All right, here we go. Those are my readers. But yeah, by way of tonight, I'm going to come out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And we all know what this is. But I just felt like this would be something that, because repetition is good, and I felt like this would be a great and place to just knowing full well that we're getting ready to go into a new year. And wherewithal, with the life that the Lord has given us, we need to live that life more abundantly. So by way of Ephesians, let me give the introduction. I will be coming from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. The author of the book is the Apostle Paul. And it was written when he was in prison, likely in Rome, AD 60 to 62. Paul, the purpose why Paul wrote this letter was to encourage and instruct the believers in Ephesus. He aimed to strengthen their faith and to promote unity in the church and to provide guidance on living a Christian life. The theme Paul calls on the Ephesians to set off, to put off, and to put on the old. Put off their old selves, which are corrupted by deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of their minds, putting on the new self created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. So let us, I'll read the word here, and then we'll pray. If you all can follow along. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, and because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. In verse 21, if so be that ye have learned him, if so be that ye have learned him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind after God is created, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And in verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, this evening, and just for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray, Father God, that you would use me, Lord, tonight, that I may be an encouragement and a blessing to these, your people. Lord, I ask, Father God, that you would be with Pastor Heimbar and Boaz, who I pray for on a regular basis. And Lord, I ask, Father God, that you would strengthen Boaz and Pastor Heimbar as well and his family. And Lord, as also, Lord, I pray for my pastor, Dr. Strauss, and Lord, that you would be with him and Mrs. Strauss, Lord, as they are away. And Lord, bring them back home to us safely. And Lord, as I not forget about Brother Eichel, and for those that are not here as well, Lord, be with our people. We are sure to thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, in this, Paul is writing to this Ephesian Gentile church. And Paul is encouraging this Gentile Ephesian church. And in verse 17, Paul is saying, this I say. Paul's not saying this I say. He's saying, now I say this likewise. What is Paul referring to? He's referring to what follows in exhortation in verse 1. So, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And that's the emphasis of this text. As a believer in Christ, we need to walk worthy of the calling that the Lord has set before us. Amen. And in doing so, Paul begins to say in verse 17, this I say therefore, and I testify in the Lord. You know, it's odd that I sat and I looked at this and I said, you know what? Paul is bringing the Lord Jesus Christ to testify on what these individuals needed to do. He called to witness the Lord, or he recorded it. He recorded it. He took to record that these things that they did. He said that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. So what was Paul saying? Paul said, listen, I would rather you henceforth no longer walk, not as other Gentiles walk. And when I went back and I started looking at this, it's amazing what the Lord does when you study. They omitted the word other and says that you walk not as Gentiles walk, in the vanity and the ineffectiveness of their minds. And so what he was saying, so I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you no longer live lies as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. So the day that we got saved, we have to realize that we ought not to walk like those Gentiles were walking. This Ephesian church was a Gentilic church, but there were some things that were going on in that Gentilic church that Paul brought to the forefront. They were walking, but they were walking in the vanity of their minds. And so Paul said, and when you look at this, is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Turn there. So Paul said, let's leave verse 1. And ye hath quickened, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That was us at one point in time. We were walking according to the prince of this air. And the Lord done something in our lives. He changed the way we had our walk. title is, my title of my message is to change life. So God changed our lives. And so therefore, in doing so, the believer is not to walk as Gentiles. That is ungodly men. This is very significant. Remember, Paul is writing to Gentiles. The church of Ephesus was a Gentile church. Thus, the encouragement is for us believers to no longer walk as Gentiles walk. But the word other, like I said before, was omitted. So when we talk about not walking like Gentiles walk, he's talking about having that unsaved mentality. Because a lot of times as believers, we have that mentality where we think that we got it. We got it made. But we don't. We have to watch the way we walk. Because our walk needs to be coincided with how God walks. A worthy walk. A walk that God calls us to have. So at the end of the day, that's what God is doing in our lives. And so in the vanity of their minds, Romans 1:21. Let us turn there. Romans 1:21. Romans 1:21. Because why were these Gentiles walking in the vanity of their mind? They were ineffective in their minds, and they were ungodly. They were heathen. They were ungodly men. So then Paul goes on here in Romans and says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. That's what the unsaved world does. Because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do. And we were once like that. When we walked in verse 21, when we knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. What does that darkened mean? That means blinded. They were blinded in their way of thinking. And that's how we were in our lives before we came to Christ. And my goal in preparing this message is for us never to forget. Never to forget what the Lord has done for us, because we can walk like these Gentiles. Why do you think Paul took the message to that Gentile Ephesian church? Because some of those folks were still walking like those ungodly men. And so even in even in Bible Baptist Church, we can become like that. We can become just like these Gentile believers. We can become foolish we can darken our heart and our hearts to what? Belief, like Pastor says, or unbelief. There are a lot of folks that are not here now. And you understand that. That means that they've gone away from the Lord. They've hardened their heart in what? They know the scriptures, but they've hardened their heart to do their own thing. And so God is dealing with these folks here. And he not only said that, in verse 18 he said, they have their understanding darkened. And they were being alienated from the life of God. So what does it mean? They had their moral understanding darkened. Like, and then what does that mean, darkened? It's like, I thought about the word darkness. And like, it's like an eclipse that never goes away. That's how the world is. It's like an eclipse that never goes away. And as believers, we are never to get back to that state of being alienated from the life of God. Why? And how were these folks did it? How did it happen? Because of their ignorance. We can become ignorant towards the truth of God as well. And we can walk just like these folks if we're not careful. They are darkened in their understanding, and they are separated from the life of God. What is the life of God? That which the Lord bestows upon us. That which God gives us, the life that we live right now as a believer in Christ. So the believer is not to allow his understanding to become darkened. We are not to return to the world of the spiritually blinded, the world of those who walk with darkened understanding. So if Psalms 82:5, turn there. So let's expound on that a little bit. They know not, neither will they understand. neither will they understand. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of sorts. Jesus here described Israel's hypocritical religious leaders as sightless men, claiming to guide other sightless men. Both suffer a terrible end. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. I'll be going through a lot of scripture tonight. And I know that's only because I was trying to just put these things together, and I appreciate what the Lord has done for me. In 15:14. And in 15:14, and what he talks about, these sightless men both suffer a terrible end. What is that terrible end? 15:14, it is, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. And so that's how it is as a believer in Christ. We watch these folks, and they're in their darkened state. And you ask people certain questions. I was in getting my hair cut, and they were in there talking about the Lord. And they mentioned something. The barber mentioned something to one of the guys that was in the chair. And he says, do you know about Jesus? And I was quite taken back because I've never heard these guys talk about the Lord. He said, do you know Jesus? He said, I'm not interested. I don't want to have anything to do with him. But the Bible says that every knee and all of us will bow, saved and unsaved. He's going to have to give an account for that when he stands before the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, I'm glad I'm on the other side of that. You know. So when spiritual darkness blinds the judgment of a nation's leaders, the foundations of society are shaken. Just like, you know, this is one of the things that we have to take heed to. We got to stand firm in the grace of God, what the Lord has given us, and just follow the Lord Jesus Christ with every ounce of our fiber. Because I just, you know, as being a born-again believer, I thank the Lord for the opportunities that he gives me. And I thank the Lord for my salvation. And I thank the Lord for my grandson. Once again, it's just one of those things, man. And the Lord just led me to just go over these scriptures. And it's like, in verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. So go back and let me try to expound on this. And being past failures, being past feeling, means cease from having feeling pain. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 35 says, if you all turn to there, I write them down so you all can turn to there, and I'll wait until you all get there. Proverbs 23, verse 35. And the Bible says, they have stricken me, shall thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me. This is Solomon saying this. And they have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Isn't that like the world? They can get into so much stuff, and they want more pain. Why would you want that much pain? I don't want that much pain. I have pain running up and down the basketball court. I want to stop when the time is presentable. But those young kids just get up and down that floor, and I'm in pain at the end of the day. But these folks here, they want it time and time again. That's how the world is. Whatever situation that they find themselves in and it hurts, they want it more. So Solomon's warnings about abuse, and I went down here and I looked at this, and I said, you know what? Solomon was warning these folks about the abuse of alcohol. So he said, so should be taken seriously by everyone, but especially by believers. Believers are clearly commanded not to be controlled by wine, for this is debauchery, but to be controlled by the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Let's take a look there. And the Bible says, once again, I'll write these things down. I'll wait till you guys get there. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. talking to talk to members, you know, be filled with the Spirit. So when this, what this means is that we ought to be filled with the Spirit each and every day. Every day we wake up, we ought to be filled with the Spirit. We ought to be filled with the Spirit of God to the brim, so that we walk in the truth of God's words. And so after he now breaks these things down, then he comes in on verse 20 and he says, but ye have not learned Christ. So what does he mean by that? He says, now you, at the time of your conversion, you have not so learned Christ this way. So Paul was dealing with these Ephesians because they were going through all this in verse 17 through 19. He said, you didn't learn how to live for Christ that way. So why are you living in sin? Why are you living in sin? That's for us as well. When we see the world thinking like they've gotten ahead and stuff all that nature, we don't have to worry about that, because we need to make sure, because we didn't learn Christ that way. Upon our conversion, we didn't learn Christ that way. The reason clearly stated, believers do not learn such a sinful life from Christ. God didn't give us that. God didn't give that to us. He said, you're not learning that from me. Christ did not live a sinful life. And he has not taught us to live a sinful life as well. So we ought to live life more abundantly. You mean stands in contrast to the insensitive, passion-dominated pagans who exist only to satisfy their only selves, their lower state. So this unsaved world seeks to satisfy their selves time and time again. Oh, I want this. I want that. The Bible says we ought to not be covetous. We ought not to covet another man's thing. What does covetousness mean? To want something that's not yours? When we're in that world, that's how we were. But I see people time and time again. Sometimes I drive by and I have to put it out of my mind. I was like, Lord, you know about my car. I need a new one. And the Lord said, you're being covetous again, huh, Andrew? And so I have to take heed to that step. So this, I was speaking to myself on that point. So at the end of the day, I thank the Lord for where he has me. And that was not how the Gentile converts in Ephesus came to know Christ for themselves. But that's what that means. You have not learned Christ that way. So in verse 21, so he says, if so be that ye have learned, ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Paul is saying, co-referencing, Paul is saying, surely you have heard of him and you were taught in him in accordance to within the truth that is in Christ. So Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says, let's go there. Verse 1:13, Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye trusted, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. So that's what we all did. When we heard the word of truth, that's what I did. When I heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, mean deliverance, in whom after that I believed immediately. First thing I didn't want to do was go to hell. That was my main goal. Man, I always said to myself, listen, man, as I was out there, I always wanted, kept saying, man, there's something better than this. There's got to be something better than this. And so that's that verse, man, and I like that. If in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, and ye were what? Sealed. So the day I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so that's a blessing to know that we all are at being saved, that we are sealed with a promise. The world doesn't know that. The world doesn't know that promise, but it's up to us to tell them. It's up to us to tell them, because we can have all the Bible in us we want, but we got to give it out. It's imperative that we give it out. We are commanded to go ye into the hedges. You know, I think about Dr. Grassi on a regular basis. His church is in a prime spot. And there are folks hanging out there. This is the Bronx of New York City, you know. And go ye into the hedges and compel them to come out. And I pray on a regular basis that they do that. And I know that's Dr. Grassi's desire, is to see those folks come into the house of God. That should be our desire here as well. Everyone we see, compel them to come into the house of God. Because how else are we going to fill the house of God if we're not speaking forth the truth of God's word? So the spirit of promise, They heard the truth of Christ, so they accepted him. And that's what we was again. So verse 22, that ye put off. Paul say, listen, Ephesian church, Gentilic church, put off concerning your former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust. You know, concerning putting off the old man, which is that? Conduct. The old conversation, the conduct. In previous. But in before that, it says, put off concerning. So let us look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Herefore seeing, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth, which doth easily beset us, and let us run the race that is set before us. And that's what the believer is never to do. We are to cast off every weight and sin that so easily beset us. I know I can get that. Those can happen to me. If it can happen to me, it can happen to any one of us. So we have to be careful of those sins that so easily beset us and run, set it off, put it off, and let us run the race with patience that is set before us. And so in Galatians, the conversation of the old man, look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, 113. Galatians 1:13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure, Paul said, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. So here's Paul talking about his old self and what he did in his past life as an unbeliever. Paul said he persecuted the church. I can stand alone with Paul and say there are a ton of things that I persecuted a lot of folks as well. We all have. In our old nature, we all have taken that, myself. That's what we do. That's what folks do when they're unsaved. And so Romans chapter 6, verse 6, so it says that we are to, the old man, we are to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Look at Romans 6, 6. The Bible says, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So even though our old man is crucified crucified with who? Christ. So that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we no longer, the word henceforth, should mean no longer we should not serve sin. So that's what we should do as a believer in Christ. But these Ephesian believers needed to know that. This is why Paul was encouraging them to walk worthy of your calling, of your vocation. So now you turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 6, 13. This is what happens when we live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And that's what these Paul was dealing with when he was talking to these individuals. They needed to put off the old man, and they needed to mortify the flesh, the deeds of the body, so that they could live. Verse 24. 23. In verse 23 it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So what were they to do? They were to renovate their minds. That's what we need to do on a regular basis. This is a continual act. This is something that doesn't stop as a believer. Each and every day we are to renew our minds in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? By reading the truth of God's word, by praying, by trusting God for everything that he, you know, for everything, because to be honest with you, we can do nothing without him. We can do nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to be made new in the attitude of our minds, our understanding, transfigured. Romans 12:2 It says, be not conformed to this world. There that word is again. But be transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the believer is always to be transformed by the renewing of his mind. Continue to renovate your mind. Because if we don't renovate our minds will get saturated with that world out there. And when our minds get saturated right that, like that world out there, we'll easier and easier. We'll move over to that side of that world. And if we're not careful, that sin will keep us there and it hold us longer and keep us longer than we want to be. And that's not the place to be. And you hurt your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can no longer be effective. Because you're just like the rest of them, you know. So we need to be, by all means, like Paul said, walk worthy of the vocation that is in us, of our calling. Because we all have a calling. You know, I shared this with my grandson. I said, God has a calling. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for all of our lives. And you know, to live for him, that's the plan, to live for him. We're born to worship him. And so Colossians 3:10 says, and for sake of time, I'll read these. You guys don't have to go there. I'll read them. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So as a believer in Christ, we have to put on the new man, keep on the new man, renovate ourselves, continue. It's I think that word is action, renew, continuous, a verb sense, in a verb sense, to continue to do these things. The believer is to undergo a radical reorientation of their mental outlook. To be made new in the attitude of our minds. This can only take place under the influence of the Holy Spirit, acting on the human spirit as it affects the realm of thought. So by the grace of God, we can only do this influence under the Holy Spirit. So each and every day, we have to walk in the truth of God's word, in the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Because without that, we can do nothing. Amen. There's nothing else we can do. So I just thank the Lord for, I needed this in my own life. Repetition is good. Because you get, sometimes as a believer, we think that we have it all. And we do. We have everything we need right here in the truth of God's word. But we can become so complacent in God's word. We get away from the word. We don't read, you know. You need to be filled up. So when you get around unsaved people, you can talk truth. That's the only thing that sets a man free is the truth. The truth set us free. That's the only thing that sets you free is the truth. Forget about all that other stuff they're talking about. Let's talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. That separates the sheep from the goats. That's what Pastor said, right? It'll separate the sheep from the goat. So you get down to the meat of the root of the word. Share the love of Christ. And I tell people this all the time. You want to stay out of trouble as a young believer? Tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. If they don't hear you, keep on telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they don't hear you, keep on telling them. Because you know what? There's going to bring about a separation. And that person is going to say, that guy means business. And I'm not going to go around that guy when I see him again. So at the end of the day, keep on telling them. And that's for our young people. I pray for our young people in our assembly on a regular basis. You guys just don't understand. You're near and dear to my heart because I have 13 grandchildren, and I pray for them on a regular basis. I'm not like Pastor. Pastor has more than that, so I'm not going to even go there. But I do pray for my grandchildren on a regular basis. In turn, that means I'm praying for young people. So I pray for all of the young folks in our assembly on a regular basis. Continue to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let nothing get in the way of that. Nothing. No one, nobody, no nothing. And I remember what Pastor said about us when we, it won't come to word right now, but believe me, it'll come. That we must forsake everything, wives, children, because he needs to be glorified. He needs to be glorified. And so, and you put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. So Ephesians chapter 11 says, and not only that, once you put on all that, here's another coding for you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. And put on the whole armor of God that ye may, what? Be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The believer is to put on the armor of God. Why go out of the house without it? What does that mean? Study. I have to say these things to myself because that's where I have to be strong at. I have to study. Because you're going to face certain situations and individuals in this life. You have to study the Word of God because the Word of God stands alone. It don't need our help. It'll set out to accomplish what it will accomplish. It don't need us. So when it does that, all we got to do is preach forth the Word of God. And the Word of God will take care of itself. And so when that happens, there's no greater joy than to see a soul come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So get out of the way. Get out of the way and let God use us. And let God, we're vessels. We are a vessel. We are servants. A lady said that to me one time. She said, "You are a preacher." I said, "Ma'am, I'm a servant." I don't know how we got into that because I was at a funeral. That's what it was. Am I not telling the truth? I'm not telling the truth. I was somewhere else, and I was walking. And the lady just walked into me, and she said, "Are you a preacher?" And I said, I was stunned. And I said, "Why did you ask me that?" She looked at me and she laughed. She said, "No, I was just asking." And I said, "You know what? That's strange." I said, "Because it's not nothing that I did. I'm not bragging on me. Trust me when I'm telling you, I'm bragging on the Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done for me." And see, that's what happens. When you clean up your life, the world sees it. That was, can I say, clarification for what the Lord had done in my life. And I was grateful. I was on a high horse that day. And I was like, Lord, is nothing but what you've done. I don't claim the glory and all that. The glory is his. But the world knows who you are. You know, tell somebody about the Lord. And if you've made a profession of faith and you're away from the Lord, you know, you can come back. You can come back. Time and time again, people tell me they're saved. If you're saved, you don't walk like this. Like these first couple of verses in the Bible where Paul was talking about these folks, that they were walking in darkness. You walk in darkness when you're away from the Lord. A believer can become that. We can walk in darkness away from the Lord. If you've made a profession of faith and you say you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, now's the time to get it right. Get right with the Lord. He has a plan for your life. Get it right now. Sometimes I've seen the Lord take folks home prematurely because they won't serve him. Because God wants to be glorified. How are you glorifying God and you're not living for him? And you're not telling other folks about him? Let us pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to say thank you, Lord, this evening. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do, Lord. I've done all that I can do. And Lord, I brought forth the word. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you use your word to speak to your people. This is your truth. I've just brought forth. I'm just a servant wanting to serve. And Lord, I ask, Father God, that you bless your word. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.